Well, good evening. It is once again a great opportunity to be gathered here, and thankful that the Lord has given us another time again, as has already been said. And I know that last song that we sung, all those Do Re Mi kids know that one very well. They just popped up their heads when they heard that. You know, that Do Re Mi school, it's a blessing. And it's been a blessing to me and my family. I know that I went many years ago, back when it was still at Cumberland University, and that's when they held it, and I didn't know anything about it. Brother Monty Shoulders was the chaplain at that time, and for the school, and he asked me and another younger brother, Brother Jeremy Miller, to come for the week to, at that time they had character building classes for all the age groups, and so Brother Monty asked if we would come down from Indiana and stay all week and teach those every evening, the different age groups, and then we got to participate as a student. So me and Brother Jeremy, we've never done anything like that before, and so I learned a whole lot that week about music. And say, no, Brother Nathan, maybe you need to go as a student. Have your own admission there. There's no shame in learning those things to better yourself for the Lord. I mean, there is absolutely no shame in that going and learning. Me and Brother Jeremy was in there with all these kids because we were in the beginner class. And but I'll tell you, what I learned from there helped me. It really did. That was the same year that Sister Carrie got, the Browner's daughter, got saved. You know, there was just so many things that took out from that. And many years later, I got to send my children there, and they just absolutely love it. And they're telling their friends about going, so they pulled more of their friends this year to go, and they absolutely love it. And listen, it's those kind of things. I mean, they go for a lot of the fellowship, right? I mean, it does, but they're learning, you know, shake note music. They're learning to sing together. You know, that's the focal point is the Lord. And Brother Key is very clear about that. That you have the singing school is the Lord. And you just get the honor and glory from it. But the kids have a great time getting to know each other. And I'll tell you what, we need that kind of stuff today. You know, they had to really, that week, it's nice, because I know some of those kids got to be there this year, and they got to leave their electronics kind of put up, which is quite a feat nowadays. I mean, it is. You get those kids to put down their phones for just a minute. They have their phones, but it's not like it is when they're at home. But they come together, and you know, they form bonds for a lifetime through these things. And my prayer is that those kind of things help strengthen them if those that aren't saved, they get saved. And they can say, remember that year that we were at Do Re Mi and such and such got saved, or you know, things happen. So they have those experiences, so then when they get older, they can help hold each other accountable. Lean on each other. But as you sung that song, I just got thinking about Do Re Mi, and I saw my daughters like, Yeah, I remember the song. And, you know, it's good to get excited about the Lord.
That's right, amen.
And singing. And so, you know, I just, that blessed me tonight, thinking about that and how the Lord is able to do things that you and I don't always see. And most certainly through music is a wonderful thing. And I'll tell you, some of the songs this week, a lot of the songs this week I've never heard before. Real Dyer, he's just a really, I mean, I don't know how he knows all these songs. He just knows a lot of songs.
Yeah.
But from learning stuff at the school, I have sometimes have to keep time with my own hand while I'm singing so that I can get those notes right. So I could try to sing it a little bit better than without that knowledge. But anyway, I'm thankful for those things. Tonight, you know, I was talking to my wife today, and you know, my burden this, especially the last few days, and it's just really just been towards those that are not saved, and just my heart just really just goes out to them, and how much that I would love to hear a testimony from them. I can't make it happen, and you can't either, but boy, I just, my heart just geared to that direction this week, and you know, the Chandlers, we met Virginia, and no, they're two oldest here tonight, you know, since they were little, you know, running around the school there that we had service in Virginia and the pews, and they were running around, you know, when they were this big too. But now look at them, they're, you know, they're all almost grown up. But my heart, you know, you love people and you want them to know the Lord. You want them, as Brother Nathan read in preliminary, that Paul said, you know, I want you to be as I am. All of you. And that is our heart's desire tonight, is that we want you to know Jesus. And you know, a lot of people are doing other things this week. And there may be other things that you might have liked to have done this week. You know, it's probably not the funnest thing to be a preacher kid and have your birthday fall during a revival. I mean, it just isn't. But what a blessing it is, and I pray that the Lord would show them that it is a blessing. If they would find it sweet to their soul, it would be a great blessing to them. And tonight, I just pray, as we have, that your heart, the Lord would open your hearts tonight, that you would lend your ear to the Word of God a little bit. And I know you've been hearing a lot of wonderful words and a lot of wonderful singing, a lot of wonderful testimonies, and a lot of truth this week. And I pray the Lord to use it all. And really just have an effect on their little heart.
Amen.
That they would seek Him and find Him. It's all about Jesus. And we're going to continue to try to do the same tonight. Just point you to Jesus. If you want to turn with me, I want to take a little bit of Scripture here in the book of Isaiah. Before we get to... over New Testament a little bit. Maybe a little bit of prophecy here. Isaiah was pretty good at laying that straight. In the 61st chapter of Isaiah, first verse says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." I want to get to that first part, but I really like that, the end of that third verse. And to me, you know, after the Lord saved me, that's kind of how I felt, right? He put all of those things, as Isaiah mentioned, as ashes. He turned it to beauty. For the mourning feeling and sorrow into oil of joy. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, I love that. I know Brother Garen mentioned about the girl that got saved there at that revival. He was able to witness and see. And you just, that's what happens. I mean, you get planted on that sure foundation and you become His righteousness. And it's awesome. And but this first part, you know, this was a prophecy that reading through it and not realizing how much of a prophecy that it was. You know, there's a lot of things written in Isaiah and other of the prophets that you know, are a little tricky to understand, and they're not always black and white as far as being fulfilled exactly, and unless you really dig and find out where it corresponds with in the New Testament. But this is one, and I'm so grateful for the revelation of this prophecy in Jesus Christ Himself. And He actually points this out very clearly to those that was in His attendance. And we want to read that in the New Testament. So if you want to flip over about this prophecy being fulfilled, we're going to turn to the fourth chapter in the book of Luke. And I really love this picture. When I read Scripture, and I don't know how you all do it, and maybe, you see, I love it when preachers like Brother Broder, you know, when he lays out those pictures as he did for us, I love that. It helps me to visualize it in my head a little bit easier. And I just love that. But sometimes when I read Scripture, I try to visualize what's going on, right? And, you know, when you read books, if you read books, you know, you read them and you try to, you know, they're descriptive in how they write books, right? So try to get you so that you actually feel like you're in the book. There's no difference here. You know, when you read the Scripture, sometimes I love it when the Lord just helps you see this mental picture of what was happening, man, in Scripture. And so as we read this, I hope that the Lord will help show you and maybe give you just this mental picture, just a little bit, of what was going on. Because I just find this so fascinating. Well, often many things fascinating when I do that. So in the book of Luke, in the fourth chapter, we want to start reading the 16th verse. Well, yeah, 16th verse. It says, and He came to Nazareth, speaking of Jesus, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Now, mind you, they didn't have verses and chapters at this time. You know that it wasn't until I was an adult and someone pointed that out to me that I realized, oh, it's something easy to look at. You don't think about. If we have our Bible, you think that it was always written like that, and it most certainly wasn't. They had scrolls. It was written down as a continuous writings, right? So here, Jesus, they're there in the synagogue, and they would read scriptures, and he turned to where the prophet Isaiah had there had pinned down as he opened it up, and he found the place where it's written. In verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It sounds just like what we read there in that 61st chapter of Isaiah, because it was. And then it says, he closed the book. Now think, I want to visualize this with me. He closed the book after he read that, the scroll. He gave it again to the minister and he sat down. So here's this room full of several people. Jesus standing up, who is the Messiah, who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was God right there in front of them, and a lot of them didn't even realize it. He reads scripture that he already knew. He memorized it, by the way. He didn't really have to probably read that. He knew it. But yet he did it because he wanted to show forth exactly who he was. And he wrapped it all up and gave it to the minister, and he sat down, and they were all just looking at him. Like, what just happened? And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." These were the Jews that was there in that synagogue. And here was this man that came in and read that scripture, just that little bit, and then he sat down. And then he told them, "This day, this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Can you imagine? This was a black and white explanation from Jesus himself of a prophecy that was fulfilled. You know, we have many other prophecies that were fulfilled by, you know, Jesus' birth and all of these things. And this, he told them, it is fulfilled in your ears today. And you imagine they were just bewildered about what was going on. They were saying, "Is this Joseph's son?" And they went on, and Jesus kind of explained some more things. And kind of down through there, there were some that says they were astonished at his doctrine. In verse 32, it says, "For his word was with power." And I don't know how... I don't know what it would have been like to hear Jesus' voice in the flesh. We know he was all man. We know that he was all God. Right? And we know that he took on this form of flesh, and he walked around as you and I are. But he was all God. I mean, he spoke with power that us preachers wish we had all the time. I mean, we have to call on the Spirit of God. Isn't that what we pray for? That the Spirit would come down and help fill our mouths, help fill our own spirit, that we would preach in the Spirit and of truth. But this was God Himself speaking. So there wasn't... it was all absolutely true. And it was all absolutely with great power. Amen. When He spoke and preached. They were astonished that His word is with power. I mean, I don't know how it was. You know, Jesus was there manifesting the flesh. The Spirit was still there. So were the words that Jesus spoke. I mean, it had to pierce every heart all the time. I mean, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that really worked. But it's one of those things that just, it's amazing when you think about it. But here he was, a fulfilled prophecy. And so it was This prophecy, though, that he read as he closed that book, is that this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. We know that Jesus did all of these things that he said, that Isaiah said he was going to do. That was a prophecy. That's the whole point. It was to point to the Messiah. It was to point to the truth of who he was. So Jesus read this, and what was it that he read? Let's look a little deeper into this. He said that he was going to, and that he was currently preaching to the poor. And that he was going to heal or cure the brokenhearted. And preach deliverance to those captives. And that he was going to give sight to the blind. And that he was going to give liberty to them that are bruised or crushed. And we know that he did those things.
Amen.
We have record proof in Scripture that that's exactly what he did. Jesus never said one thing and did another. You know, we say you practice what you preach. We have to tell each other that because we have this robe of flesh we have to deal with, right? I mean, how many times I've heard, you know, parents, you know, you tell your kids one thing and you might do something other, and that gives mixed direction that can confuse some children at times, especially the world when they're looking for fault when we say one thing and do another. But Jesus wasn't like that. Everything he said, he did.
Right.
It was perfect in that. And so it was. He did. We have record of that in Scripture. They did all these things in the physical things, right? He went to the poor. He sat with the poor. Those that was lacking, right? Those who were homeless, that was without. He sat with those that were brokenhearted physically and helped heal them in their situations. He physically, in the flesh, did the things which he said. We know that he healed the blind physically. We talked about blind Bartimaeus the other night. He healed him. There was other accounts of those that were blind that he healed with some clay, some dirt, and some spittle. And he put it together, put it on the eyes of those that were blind. He didn't have to do that, but he just did it that way. So he did these things that he said in the flesh. And it was important that he did so. What about... But see, that wasn't all that was stopped. I want us to understand that he fulfilled this in the flesh, physically. But that wasn't all, my dear brothers and sisters. This prophecy was even more than that. It was more than just a physical prophecy that needed to be fulfilled. This was also a spiritual prophecy. You see, I want us to look at this at the spiritual context of this prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the only one that could fulfill it. Listen, we talked about the physical things that Jesus did physically, but when all of these things that he did, it was to show forth, number one, that he was God. But it was also to show forth what he was going to do and what he will do to all of those that are in this condition spiritually. It's a beautiful picture of a spiritual nature. All of those things, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, those that were held captive, those that were blind, that is all a representation of you and I as lost sinners, of a fallen people. And I want to share that with you tonight, that those that are lost, I want you to listen up. You might have considered that you're not poor tonight. You know, your parents take care of everything for you. In the flesh. The physical needs. You might not consider yourself brokenhearted tonight. Maybe you do, and I hope you do. But in the flesh, maybe you don't consider yourself to be blind. Maybe you don't consider yourself to be captive tonight. But I want to tell you tonight, by your actions and by what you have declared unto us here, that if you are lost and you are without God, you are every one of these things. And I want you to understand that Jesus came not to just to be a nice guy to heal them in the flesh. He was doing it to show forth what His real true purpose was to save your soul.
That's right.
And so tonight, if you, I pray that the Lord will help you to see that your condition is exactly these things. I want to turn and I want to read an account of one of a lady who was in this condition, who was a sinner, and everybody knew it. And I want you to listen tonight at this reading over in the book of Luke in the 7th chapter. Flip a few pages with me. This sinful woman, starting in 36th verse. Here we have Jesus. Remember, it's all about Jesus. And one of them, here's the scene. Again, picture this in your mind, if you will. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed him with the ointment. Now I want you to, did you visualize that in your head a little bit? I want you to lend your ear to me for just a minute. This woman heard about Jesus. She was broken. She was held captive to her sin.
Yeah.
She was blind in that she knew not the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. She knew her brokenness. And tonight, I hope you see your brokenness tonight. And I want you to take some advice from this woman. And take account of her sin sickness. As she heard about Jesus, as you have heard about Jesus all night. This woman came in. Jesus was invited to eat by a Pharisee. And we know what those Pharisees were. They were very high-minded. They were very knowledgeable in the law of God. And thought they were better than everybody else, and they would tell you so. And in this house was a Pharisee named Simon, and he invited Jesus in. And it's my understanding that when even at this point in time, Jesus had quite a following of people. He was doing miracles. He was doing things that no one else had seen before. So Jesus went in to this Pharisee's house, and there would have been other people there just anxious to hear what was being said, whether it's just to cause a debate or just to hear some new thing. And then here comes this woman. She wasn't invited, by the way. She wasn't invited to this Pharisee's house. But there was something about her that she knew she needed fixed. But even before that, she knew that there was a man in there that was going to help her. And even aside of that, there was a man in there who was very powerful. And so she followed into that house, not being invited. And she went into that house and she brought in this box of ointment. And she went in there, stood behind Jesus. And she just started, she took that ointment that was very precious. And she took that ointment out, and she was weeping. Why was she weeping? She wasn't injured. I want you to understand that. She was not injured physically that we're aware of. She was weeping. And she, as she was weeping down at Jesus' feet at this time, with all these people around, you see, that's another, she didn't care.
No.
inappropriate, socially speaking, to be there at the feet of this man named Jesus. I want you to think about this. See? How beautiful. And she was down there, and she was weeping, and she was taking her very hair, and she was wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, and her tears just flowed. And then when she was cleaning them off, I mean, can you imagine this? If you had your house, you had visitors over, and there was some stranger from the street that comes in and starts weeping and cleaning some man's feet that you invited over, think about it. You'd be just like the Pharisee, I imagine. She didn't care. She was cleaning his feet with her hair. Yeah, I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, we need to be more like her.
Amen.
I read about this and I thought, I know about this one point in my life that I got down that low.
That's right.
Why can't I get back in here? Why can't I serve my Lord like she was? Why can't I serve Him like I did that night? I gave it all. But here she was. She was wiping His dirty feet. And I want you to remind you, we wear shoes that keep our feet pretty clean. They didn't wear shoes, they wore sandals that were in. It was filthy. I mean, their feet was one of the most dirtiest parts of their body because everywhere they walked, their feet got dirty. So she was wiping her face right there by His feet. Wiping them. And then after she cleaned them off the best she could, she took that ointment, of that precious ointment she had in that box. I imagine that was all she had. And she took that ointment, she put it and anointed His feet with it. And of course, the Pharisee, you know, he thought in his mind, if he was a prophet, he should know how big a sinner she is.
Right.
You know what He didn't do? Jesus didn't say, go away.
No.
He didn't say, I'm embarrassed.
No.
This was God.
Yeah.
This was the King of Kings that that Brother preached on last night. This was the one that was held up on the tree who died for us. And He wasn't embarrassed by it. That Pharisee sure was, though. Jesus spoke right to him. Gave him a little parable. And then He confronted him. And said, you know, I came into your house. I want you to understand something. There was customs of the Jewish people this time. That was customary. When you invited a guest over, that you would do. Just out of basic decency. It was their customs. You know how we shake hands? That is one of our customs. You know how it is, you know, when sometimes people are like, would you like something to drink? You know, these things we have learned from each other and passed down through generations. At this time, in the Jewish culture, when you would come into and was invited as an invited guest, the first thing that should have been done was to wash the feet. There would be a basin of water, and that water would be used to cleanse and wash your feet before you sat down to eat. You were invited guests. And Jesus called him out and said, you didn't even wash my feet when I entered your house.
Mm-hmm.
And here this woman is. She's washing my feet with her very tears. It was also the custom of that day. He spoke of a couple others. There was a kiss. You know, we greet each other with a handshake. They would oftentimes greet with a holy kiss. They would kiss each other like on the side of the cheek, right? There was none of that. Said, you didn't even give me a kiss. And here she was wiping and cleaning my feet, kissing my feet. Nothing to clean his hair. And then He says to them in the 47th verse, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much.
Amen.
But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And then he turned to her and said, thy sins are forgiven. And they that were witnessing this, and they said, who is that that forgiveth sins also? He said, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Isn't that glorious? He sat with her. He did the things in the flesh which he was fulfilling. But even more than that, he was fulfilling and did fulfill the things of the spiritual nature. And listen, this is important for you and me. Did you see her, how abased she was? Did you see how humble she was when she came to Jesus? She didn't care about what was going on. She didn't care who was there. She didn't care about being embarrassed. And what was interesting is they all knew she was a sinner. You know what? We all know you're a sinner. But unlike the Pharisee and those that were sitting there, we invite you to come to Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a sign outside as we pull in that says revival, 7 p.m. nightly. We invite sinners to come in. We want everyone to have what she got. We want everybody to have what I got. Because I'll tell you what, when I bowed down to the Lord that night, I had to come and I sought the Lord, as Brother Nathan admonished tonight, that if you don't have Jesus, you know it. This woman knew it. And I went and sought Jesus, and I needed Him. I wanted Him. Man. I didn't care who was there that night, but I was calling and praying and pouring my heart out to God. You know, my heart was in the same condition as hers. And He forgave my sins that night. He wasn't there in the flesh, but He was there in the Spirit, because I felt Him wipe away my sin.
Amen.
And gave me that sweet peace that we preached about all week and heard about. Are you broken tonight? It was mentioned earlier this week, and I've thought about this many different times. Is it that our children and people, is it that they go lost for a long period of time? Is it because of us not, of just kind of sheltering them and including them, and just they think that their sin isn't quite so bad?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'll tell you, your sin is bad.
Amen.
It is awful. Your good works, it's been said, you can't be good enough. You might be a good boy, a good girl, but I'll tell you, in the sight of society, but I'll tell you, in the sight of God, your sin is filthy to Him.
Amen.
And unless you get to the point where you want to desire, where you desire to be saved more than anything else, more than your reputation, more than your video games, more than anything, you've got to be just like this woman who was a sinner.
That's right, yeah.
And I promise you, you ask anyone in here of their testimony, and every one of us can relate that we had an experience similar to hers where we just felt horrible. We were broken, and we just wanted Jesus just like she did. I'll tell you, you've got to come the same way.
Amen.
Jesus didn't go out to her, by the way. She came searching for Jesus.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't see anything that she said. You know, her repentance and faith was shown in her actions. But Jesus knew her heart.
Amen.
I want you to understand, she didn't get saved because of her actions.
That's right.
That was a manifestation of what was happening inside of her heart.
That's right.
That's why when you come
altar somewhere, whether it's here, whether it's there at the seat, whether it's in your bedroom, when you make an altar to the Lord that was preached on and taught about, you are humbling yourself and the best you can to an Almighty God. Her altar was right there at His feet. What a good place. All the filth and the dirtiness and the imperfection of His human body was her altar right there. There would be no better place. Really, if you think about it, the feet of Jesus. We tell people, you need to go to the foot of the cross. It's a good place to go. She was at the feet of Jesus right there in that house. All dirtiness and all. She didn't care. She knew something about this man. Our children know something about the man we're preaching about.
Right.
They know something because what we've been telling them all week and what you've taught them, what they've heard in the many services, I don't know why they refuse to go to it. When there's an opportunity, I want to beg you to take it. I mean, there's always opportunity as long as God gives you air in your lungs and a heart that is beating. But when we have special services like this, I mean, it is just wide open to take advantage of trying to get at the feet of Jesus tonight. Maybe you don't feel like you're in bondage. There were some who had that kind of attitude. That Pharisee Simon didn't. He had that attitude. He was like, I'm fine. I'm not a sinner like her. Oh, he was.
Oh, yeah.
It says over in the 8th chapter of John that Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the 33rd verse it says, they answered Him, so there's others there. It said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You are having that type of attitude when you don't humble your heart to the Lord,
right,
is that you just feel like you just don't need it. Just like a Pharisee, like, well, you know, I'm just not that bad. I mean, that's the only thing I can think. That's the only thing I can remember is when I didn't want to seek the Lord, I just didn't feel like doing it. Which essentially is the same, similar attitude of these Pharisees. I'm not in bondage. I don't need to worry about it. I'm going to do my own thing. Jesus answered them, though. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's you tonight. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's what we've been telling you all week.
Amen.
That sinner woman went away free. She went away free. And she humbled her heart and came to the feet of Jesus. Will you come to Him tonight? You might think this is not a convenient time or a convenient season. It's Saturday. It's been every day this week and I haven't got it. Or, you know, whatever your excuse is tonight, it's not going to be good enough. We implore you, as Brother Nathan said already in preliminaries, to come to Jesus tonight.
Yep.
We get us on, brother. Listen, you are in such good company tonight. I don't know. Maybe you need to be around a bunch of Pharisees. I don't know. But you're not. Praise and glory be to God. We're on this side.
That's right.
We get to look back. We don't understand the great privilege.
privilege, brother, that we get to read this and we get to see a preacher come up here and diagram what is taking place within to show forth Jesus who died on the cross back thousands of years ago. We have a great privilege to be able to do so.
Right.
We have it all in front of us.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessing. I often think, sometimes I thought, you know, it would be really nice to be able to be in that time and see all that happen. But boy, we have the Word of God.
Amen.
In front of us today that has been wholly inspired. And those of you that are lost, you are sitting in a most blessed time to be able to hear the Word of God being preached and taught. And for the people of God to show forth what it is to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just have to say or do what we say. But I hope that by our actions this week that they have been able to see. And throughout their little lives that they've been able to see that there's something to this. Because when you've been set free, you're free. We want you to have it tonight. Will you seek the Lord? Put away your excuses. Turn to Him as we stand and sing.